Cetaceans, i.e. whales, dolphins and porpoises, may not appear at first glance to have many similarities to humans. But according to marine biologist Alice Forrest, dig a little deeper and you'd be surprised just how much we share.
Different groups of whales, for example, some of them have different languages or even different dialects. So, for example, the orcas on the northeast Pacific coast of Canada, they all live in the same area. Their range overlaps, so you would think they all speak the same language. But despite the overlapping range, they all have their own dialect, so they all speak slightly differently, which is one of those things that really puzzled scientists. And it's just really fascinating and a good reflection of how intelligent they are, those huge brains. They also communicate in a similar way to people with their songs. You might have heard the humpback whale songs. It's incredibly haunting. There's this beautiful melody. And they, just like people, have kind of trendy songs. So everyone in the population will sing the same song, but each population of humpbacks has their own song. And over time, those change. Whatever's the trendy song in one population one year, it moves across to the neighbouring population the following year. And those changes move across whole oceans over time. I guess communication also would be names. They have names just like us. A really interesting Australian study showed that bottlenose dolphins each have their own name and they use those to call each other. They also responded when scientists played their name to the pod. The dolphin whose name they played would respond, maybe swim up to the boat, come and investigate. So they all have their own name. And really amazingly, the fetus, the dolphin fetus, when it's growing inside the mum will speak to the fetus, just like how humans often do that with their babies, maybe singing or speaking to it. They've shown that the dolphin mums will do that with their babies while they're in utero, and they'll say their own name, the mum's name, to the baby throughout the process, towards the end of the process, and also after the baby's born.
Tool use is often something that we seem to think that, you know, just humans use tools. That's what makes us different. But I understand that they kind of create their own tools as well.
So dolphins specifically have been shown using tools. So again, an Australian example, but they've shown there the dolphins using sponges. They sometimes play with them, but also use them if they want to investigate maybe something a bit pointy or dangerous, they'll use the sponges. So they'll often use those. They've also been seen using pretty much toys. There's no other real explanation for it. Like pufferfish, they'll play with the pufferfish, get them to inflate, pass them around, that kind of thing. So not just using tools for useful things like investigating their environment, but also for fun things like playing around.
And what about for hunting food? Because whales, I understand, can almost create their own nets, a bit like we do as fishermen. We create nets as well.
Yeah, exactly. So the whales, yeah, kind of create their own tools with their bubbles. So you'll know that whales have like a blowhole, essentially their nostrils on top of their head, and they can blow bubbles out of this when they're under the water. They do this cooperatively. So they work together in a team and they'll swim in a spiraling motion, blowing bubbles as they go. And what that creates is essentially a giant fishing net. And it herds the fish into a group, and then they can all swim up through the middle and scoop up all the fish that they've been herding. So it's pretty incredible, because we look at them and we just think, oh, you know, they're a big fish, but they're actually highly intelligent. So they've got this cooperative behavior. They're essentially making their own fishing nets using just the tools that they have and then using that to catch their food. So it's pretty amazing.
Now, you mentioned the word cooperation. That's obviously, again, we think of that as quite a human trait. So how else do they cooperate?
It's really incredible to see the social bonds with these animals. So within their own species, they cooperate with like the feeding behavior of the humpbacks, but they also cooperate with other species, notably humans. So there's lots of examples from around the world of whales and dolphins working together with people to fish. So in Brazil, off the coast, there's bottlenose dolphins. They do a similar thing, kind of. They make like mud walls, basically. They use their tails to stir up the mud and then use a combination of that and themselves to herd fish into nets. And then the Brazilian fishermen scoop up the fish and give some to the dolphins. Similarly, there's really famous stories off the east coast of Australia of a killer whale called Old Tom. And he and his whole family, his whole pack, used to work with the whalers. So they would herd the humpback whales into the bay and then sometimes even wake up the whalers if it was nighttime. They'd splash around and make noise so the whalers would come out and then hunt the humpback whales. And in exchange, the orcas would get the tongue of the humpback, which is their favourite part. Very tasty. So there's several incredible stories of cooperation between humans and marine mammals throughout time.
What about kind of altruistic behaviour? So in other words, it's not just about, okay, you're going to give me some food at the end of this, but doing something that we can't really see any reason why they would do it or what they would get out of it.
There's several amazing stories of altruism with marine mammals, particularly dolphins. I feel like humans and dolphins, maybe because we interact more, but it seems like they often have quite a special bond. So there's a lot of stories of surfers and swimmers being rescued or helped by dolphins. I have one friend who was surfing and he saw a large shark coming towards him in a wave, and the dolphin actually swam into the shark and knocked it off course and saved his life while he was surfing. So that's a pretty incredible story. And there's many stories like that. And then within their own species as well, they've got kind of emotional bonds like we do. So you might have seen the footage. It was in one of those BBC Blue Planet series of the, I believe it was a pilot whale or a false killer whale, and its baby died. And for days it was carrying that baby around, knowing that it was stillborn, but just having that really deep emotional connection. And I think that's often something we underestimate with marine mammals. They have huge family bonds. A lot of the pods that they live in are family bonds. A lot of them are matrilineal, so the females are in charge, which is pretty great. So sperm whales, for example, they have like the old wise female in charge. Then they hang out with their whole family pod. They have nurseries where one whale will look after all the babies while the others feed. And they really care for each other and look out for each other.
That's marine biologist Alice Forrest.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.